36th Psalm, I believe that all 26 verses end with the phrase, "The mercy of the Lord endureth forever." We are thankful for that which has come before, thankful for the mercy of the Lord, that we indeed do not receive that which we deserve. I want to draw your attention this morning to Colossians chapter 3. And just want to read the first two verses to you and ask that you pray for me. As we try to speak to you regarding these words of the Lord that were given by the pen of Paul to the church at Colossae. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." If we remember the accounts that are given to us in Scripture, we can read of the literal account when Jesus ascended to heaven. Sometimes before we begin to explain what a verse of Scripture is telling us, we need to make sure that we recognize what it's not telling us. And we can remember, it's recorded in the Gospel according to Luke, it's recorded in the first chapter of the book of Acts, that those witnesses went out of the city and they saw Jesus Christ ascend back to glory. It was 40 days from the time that he had risen from the grave. Brother Virgil, I think, has preached on that subject here one Sunday whenever I was out on the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not only explained to us in those two places that I've just mentioned, Luke chapter 24 and also in Acts chapter 1 of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, it tells us here in the Apostle Paul's words, "where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." He literally, his body arose back to glory. And whenever we read that the Apostle Paul is setting forth the text, "if ye then be risen with Christ," one of the things that we need to understand is that this resurrection, this rise that the Apostle Paul is speaking to us about, he's not speaking unto us about our bodies arising with the Lord's whenever his went up in the glory. This is not a physical resurrection that he's speaking unto them about. You say, why is it necessary that we understand that this is not a physical resurrection of the body that he's speaking about here? Is because Jesus was the only one that arose back to glory. And if this is somehow supposed to apply to us, if you've then been risen with Christ, I have trouble finding some kind of application to these verses to me, don't you? I have to say, my physical body is here. In White, Georgia, this morning. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. This resurrection, this rising that the Apostle Paul is mentioning to the saints at Colossae, he's not telling them, if your physical body has arisen with the Lord, seek those things which are above. I've got some news for you this morning. Whenever that physical resurrection comes, that's all you will be seeking, is those things which are above, because you'll be above. You'll be with Him in glory. There won't be a reason anymore to encourage us to seek something whenever it's going to be in your very presence everywhere about you. Another thing that we need to make sure that we establish is that, first of all, remember, this is not physical, this is a spiritual. The second thing is that there are places in Scripture that we go that use that word "if" in a conditional manner, in a way in which it's told unto us that there's something that we can do to meet that condition. Remember back in the book of Deuteronomy in the 18th chapter, I believe, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Moses is writing unto the saints, the Israelites, and he tells them, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. How is the "if" used in that phrase? It's used as a condition that says, if you will do something, then. And he goes and he outlines several blessings that are come from God unto those that meet that condition. If thou shalt hearken diligently. You say, how do you know it's a condition? Because a little bit later in the chapter, it tells us, if you don't hearken diligently, there's some things that are going to come upon you. And some judgments from God. We believe in a conditional salvation. And that is that there's some things that if we'll obey God, that God will bless us. And it's conditioned upon our obedience to Him. The context is never eternity whenever those conditions are listed. Those contexts are blessings in the here and now. If thou shalt be willing, if thou wilt be willing and obedient, thou shalt eat the good of the land, is what the prophet Isaiah tells us. But he says, if thou refuse and rebel, thou shalt be devoured by the sword. And that prophecy is just as true today as it was whenever the prophet Isaiah spoke it. And it's true, speaking unto us of a condition of whereby we must do something in order to meet it. But he says here, if thou be risen with Christ, before we can begin to speak upon what this resurrection, upon what this rising is, it's important that we see that the Apostle Paul is not telling them that if you will do something, then you will be resurrected, then you will be risen. That's not what he's saying. He says, if thou be risen with Christ. You know, whenever you see that word used in that context, if thou be risen, that's a state of being, that's a place whereby you already dwell. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 3, whenever he was teaching us the principle of the new birth, he said, except a man be born again, he shall in no wise see the kingdom of heaven. That verse does not say, and you can't make it mean, except a man will get himself born again, he shall in no wise see the kingdom of heaven. Those are two different, completely different definitions and meaning of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that are given there, because one is a state of being, except a man be born again. The Apostle Peter uses the same language in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, being born again. Being born again. Whenever we speak of a new birth, it's not something that we get. It's not something that we obtain by our own works. It is a state of being that the Lord grants unto us and makes us in that state. And he says here, if thou be risen with Christ, he's speaking unto those that are in a certain state of being, and they are those that have been made alive. They are those that have been risen with the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in order for us to be made alive in the Lord, we first got to understand that there was a time when we weren't alive in the Lord. If thou be risen with Christ, tells me that there was a time when we weren't risen with Christ. If thou be risen with Christ, one thing he doesn't establish is that everyone is risen with Christ at all points in time of their existence. That's not what that says. He says, if thou be risen with Christ. And if we be risen with Christ, one of the things that we need to understand is that there was a time that we weren't risen with Christ. The time that the Scripture speaks unto us of when we weren't risen with Christ is when we were dead. Dead. In trespasses and in sins. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Scripture says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins.
Yeah.
And whenever the Scripture tells us that we were dead in a state of trespasses and in sins, whenever someone is dead, they are unable to do anything to give life unto themselves. When one is dead, they are dead. They're dead. The only one that can give life unto the dead is the Lord. And he is the one who gave life unto every single one that obtains and that has spiritual life today. It was given to them by God, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. If you then be risen with Christ, if you then have been made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there was a time when you weren't alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a time, according to the same chapter in the book of Ephesians, there was a time when you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and that spirit that now works and that still works in the children of disobedience. There was a time in our lives, and it may be, you know, you say, Brother Will, now, we read of accounts when ones were changed in their mother's womb. Amen and amen. They were.
Yeah.
John the Baptist was.
Yeah.
Jeremiah was. And I don't think they're the only two.
No.
I don't think they're the only two who the Lord has ever changed in the womb of their mother. But before they were changed in the womb of their mother,
yeah,
they were in a state of death in trespasses and in sins. And you say, even a child, before they take their first breath of air in this world, yes, even a child, before they take their first breath in this world, is in a state of death and in trespasses and in sins before the Lord changes them. The Scripture says, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. And it's because the sin that in the sinful state that we find ourselves in is not a sin through action. It's a sin through the imputed unrighteousness that came down to us in our blood from Adam. It's not just sin by commitment. It's sinner by the blood disease of sin that was given to us by our forefather. See, the world's attack on creation and understanding the original sin is not just a knock, just to somehow remove the meat-headed people that still believe in such a thing. Making sure you're still with me. I'm one of the meatheads, by the way. I'm happy to be in that. I'm happy to be in that category myself. I'm happy to be just a simple-minded, Bible-believing man. I pray I'll die with such a title, and I pray I even have it today. And that is this simple old book of a book about creation, where God created a man and God created a woman from his rib, and that he created everything just right, and that they failed. And upon their sin, sin and death was passed upon all men from that point in time, because all people from that point in time have come from those two beings, from Adam and Eve. Every one of them. And whenever the attack ensues upon them, it's not just so that the account would go away. It's so that the state of man and that what we are by their actions would go away, which thereby eliminates the need of a Savior. See, if I can eliminate your state by nature, and that is that you're dead in a state of trespasses and in sins, what need you of a Savior to get you out of that state? You see that? It's to remove the need of God. But whenever we see what we are, and that is, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, there had to be a time when we weren't risen. There had to be a time when we walked according to the prince of this world, when we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There was a time when all of us could meet that category, but then the Lord came along and changed us. And at that point in time that the Lord changed us, we became risen with Christ.
Yeah.
We became made alive in the Lord. You know, there's some things that that describe us as being in the Lord. In the Lord. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no new condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In Him. I want to tell you, if you're going to be risen with Him, you have to be in Him, because there was nobody there whenever He ascended to seat on the right hand of God. There was nobody in that tomb, literally from a physical standpoint, that was in that tomb with Him whenever God raised Him from the dead. That means from a spiritual standpoint, in order to be risen with Him, you got to be in Him. You got to be in Him. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Because those that are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation towards them, because Jesus Christ has paid for their sins. And who can condemn you if that is your state? You're in Him. You're in Him. You're in His love. You're in the purpose and mind of God. You're in the mind and purpose of God. You're in the Lord. Whenever we speak of the love of God towards His people, this is not just some random act. This is a purposeful action by God towards those that He loves, that are in Him. I mentioned Romans chapter 9 a few minutes ago. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, just by half actions of the Lord, it's not what it says. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. You're in the purpose. You're in the mind and in the purpose of God. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to what? His purpose. For whom He did foreknow. You're in the mind. He foreknew you. He loved you before the foundation of the world. You know why it's important that we understand that the Lord loved us before the foundation of the world? Because you hadn't done anything before the foundation of the world. And because you hadn't done anything before the foundation of the world, you didn't do anything to earn God's love.
Yeah.
For the children being not yet born, neither having done anything to deserve God's love. God loved thee. You know, if I did something to deserve it, then that means I can do something that it can be removed from me. You ever thought about the cause and effect? If I did something to deserve God's love, then I can do something to undeserve God's love. But because I didn't do anything to get it, I can't do anything to lose it. If I had to do something to get God's love, then I can do something to lose God's love. You didn't do anything to get God's love, and you'll never do anything to lose God's love. So ye then be risen with Christ. You're in the Lord. You're in the mind and the purpose and in the love of the Lord. You've been risen. You're in the life of the Lord. Ye then be risen with Christ. You've been made alive in Him. And if He's made you alive by quickening you and giving you life by His Spirit within you, let me tell you about the one that dwells in you.
Yeah.
If He dwells in you.
Amen.
How long did Brother Virgil just tell us that His mercy endures for? Forever. That means if He's in you, then whenever you die, then, you know, if you believe that Jesus is not eternal, that means whenever you die, He dies, right? He's in you. And because He's just a being, just like me and you, then when you die, He dies. It all ends there, you know? Because He lives forever.
Yeah.
Because He's eternal. And because you are in Him and He's in you,
yeah.
You live eternal. You live forever with the Lord. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends. And that is that if the Lord dwells with you, if you then be risen with Christ, if you've been made alive by the Spirit of the living God coming and speaking unto your heart and draw, you know what the Scripture says in regards to being risen? He says, if I then be, he says in John chapter 12, and I can't quote it exactly, but I got a book here that'll tell me exactly what the Lord intended whenever He wrote it. I can tell you that. He says in John chapter 12, He said, and if I then be lifted up from the earth,
yeah.
I will draw all men unto me. And I will want to tell you, he wasn't just lifted up on a cross. That's not the only lifting that the Lord ever did. He was lifted in the Senate seat on the right hand of God. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. If ye then be risen with Christ.
Yeah.
You've been made alive in him. And that's what Paul is saying whenever he speaks into the church at Colossae. He's not saying from a literal standpoint, is your body in heaven today? And he's not giving them a condition. He's explaining unto them what they are and their state of being in the Lord. If ye then be risen with Christ. And I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, this morning, if you have a hope of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart this morning, I want to tell you what your state of being is in the Lord. Ye are risen with Christ. He dwells in you. And heaven is your home. This old world is not your home. Heaven is your home. And if you then be risen with Christ, you know, there's nothing like home, is there?
No.
Those sisters out in Arkansas took good care of us. I'm telling you, they worked hard from the time we got there on Friday night. They put their hands to the plow and they went to work. They fed. They had a commode go out at the church house where we were. Now, that was the men's commode, so it wasn't too big of a catastrophe. You know, we could make do and kind of go otherwise if we needed to. You know, it could have been worse. And I have to make sure folks know me before I say that. But I started to say, well, it could have been worse. It could have been the women's restroom. Because it's a lot harder for them to go elsewhere, and they're just not out to want to take up the men's while the men's go elsewhere. We had a bathroom swap in my office about 2 years ago. The bathroom that used to be the women's became the men, and the bathroom that was the men's became the women. And it took like a week-long purge to that men's restroom for the women ever wanted to call that their restroom. It could have been worse. But you know what? They went to work, and they fixed that. They were very hospitable and loving people. But I want to tell you, there's nothing like being home. There's nothing like being home. And I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, those that become frustrated in this world and that have to face the trials and the tribulations therein, let me tell you about a place that is your home, and it's not this world. It's in glory, and where heaven is, and where Jesus Christ is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God in glory above. And he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are there. He's there. Jesus is there. And if Jesus is there, what he's admonishing and encouraging us to do is to seek where he is.
Amen.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which are spiritual, and which are not natural, which are things of this earth. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And you say, what are things which are above? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. There's some things that we can seek. I believe we can seek the truth in His Word. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. He's not telling you to seek something that you can't find. I can promise you that. The Lord has never encouraged us to seek that which we cannot obtain. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I believe that the kingdom of God can, but what could have been obtained then and can be obtained now. I believe that. I believe that the truth can be obtained from His Word. I believe in an absolute truth. I do. I believe in the absolute truth of the Word of God. And I believe that it can be obtained from His Word. Seek those things which are above. You know, the commentaries and the things that are written, I get a lot of them. I get a lot of good writings from ministers that put forth effort to write on the Word of God. And I enjoy reading. I believe some have spoken to me and given me direction whenever I needed it from above. And I believe those things. But you know, nothing can be a substitute for the Word of God. The Word of God is that which came from the one that sitteth on the right hand of God. Came from the Lord. Seek those things which are above. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you are alive in the Lord, seek those things which feed that life that He gave you. Seek His church. Seek His church. There are forces at work in this world. There are forces at work in our lives that seek to draw us away from the kingdom of God. It'll draw you away from the people that are occupants and that are a presence in the kingdom of God. It'll draw you away. It'll make you think ill of the people that you worship with. It'll make you think ill of the institution that God has established, and that being His church in this world, of having this negativity and that negativity and this wrong with it and that wrong with it. Well, I want to tell you something. There has never been a perfect church. Never been. The church of the eternal church of God that He purged and bought with His own blood is perfect. But you know, whenever John wrote those seven churches of Asia, he never told any of them that you are perfect and you don't have anything to work on. You go and you read it. But I want to tell you what, I don't want to hear it from ones that are going to speak ugly about her. I don't want to hear it. If you're not willing to come and change your life to make it better, then I don't want to hear it from you. Revelation chapter 22 tells us about those that are without. And it's pretty plain spoken if you ask me. There's some things that we can seek which are above. Yeah. And it's the institution that God has established, which is spiritual. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek the truth in His Word. Seek fellowship among the church of the living God. These are things which are above. These are not things which are earthy. Right. Because the earth will never understand these things. The earth will never understand why we believe that a book has been preserved down through the ages for us to read. How? After it's been handled by so many men, could God still preserve it for us? The earth will never understand that.
Yeah.
The earth will never understand an institution that gathers, that sings without an instrument. Without a man-made instrument. Let me reword that. Whenever we sing, you're singing with an instrument. You better believe you are. And it's an instrument that God gave you. And it's a changed heart that you're singing praises unto God with. On an instrument of 10 strings is what David says, I will sing praises unto God. And you say, what is that? What do you think those? I think those 10 strings are still here. I think they're 2 hands, 2 feet, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 1 heart, 1 mind. Add them up. I think it's 10. I believe with an instrument of 10 strings, and that being this instrument of your body, I believe you can still praise God with it. I think you can still seek those things which are above. And if you've been be risen with Christ, that is, if you've been made alive in Him, these are things that will feed that life that He gave you. You know, Jesus spoke those words in John chapter 6, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Those people followed Him across that sea, looking for more bread and fish. They're looking for the hot dog and pizza party. They're looking for something that's carnal. But He said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. Feed your spiritual nature instead of your carnal nature. And I believe if you feed the spiritual nature more than you do the carnal. Let me give it an analogy of an animal. If you have 2 pets at your house, you have 2 dogs. You have one that's a mutt, and you have another that's a mutt about 90% of the time. That's our name for our dog, is we call him Mutt. He lost the name Sonny, and we call him Mutt whenever we see him, because every time we pull up, he's drug shoes off our porch. And if you can speak any higher of a dog that does such things, then you let me know and help me out with my spirit towards that old dog, because that dog aggravates me. But you have two animals. And unless you feed that animal, it's not going to have any nourishment. But instead of feeding both of them, you just feed one of them. And you don't feed that other. You tell me which one's going to be healthier. You tell me which one is going to, at the end of a week, if you fed the mutt all the food and you didn't feed that Chinese mutt anything, you didn't feed the other one anything, it's going to be malnourished. It may still be alive, but it's going to be malnourished. That one that you fed will be healthy. But I'll tell you, little child of God, you have two natures within you. You have a spiritual nature, and you have a natural nature given to you by Adam. You feed that Adamic nature, and you keep feeding it. You gossip, you speak this and do that. You watch entertainment tonight instead of reading the Word of God a little bit more. You do those sort of things instead of feeding your spiritual nature with this and with fellowship among the saints. And you tell me which one's healthier after a period of time. The natural analogy will work just like the spiritual analogy, and those are the very words that Jesus Christ spoke in John chapter 6. It's the same thing that Paul admonished the church at Colossae to do. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Feed that spiritual nature. And I tell you, it'll be healthier. It'll be better off. May the Lord bless us to see these things. May the Lord bless us to rejoice if we then be risen with Christ. That's shouting ground and up, isn't it? That we are made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless us to apply these, these truths about what our state of being is, but also apply these encouragements and how to enjoy some of that state of being that we're in as well. Set your affection on things above, your affection in things that you love. And whenever we set our affection on things of the Lord, we get to enjoy the blessings of the Lord.
In heaven, my choice.